Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back to our regular podcast that tries to make some market sense of our topsy-turvy world. I know, Burkhard, the last time we spoke, oil and gas prices were surging. The Strait of Hormuz was closed and stocks were tumbling. And yet, as we speak today, Wall Street trades higher than it did before the conflict started, and bond yields are trending lower. So what a difference a few days can make. I'm curious, Burkhard, how should investors read all of this?
Well, look, I think markets are sniffing that both sides are clearly more constrained than they would like to say. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard clearly understands the overwhelming military power of the U.S. and Israel, and they absolutely fear the existential threat that they face. And that's why throughout this conflict, they've always maintained negotiations and will continue to do so. Meanwhile, Donald Trump also wants to call it a day and get the troops back. He knows that long wars are deeply unpopular, hard to control, and that the 45 days of attacks have dramatically weakened the Iranian military. And furthermore, the rest of the world also got the message that it's high time to reduce its dependency on Middle Eastern oil. The whole world is literally seeking to adjust. They are all looking to find new sources of supply. Everyone's trying to speed up electrification, especially all over Asia, and the transition to renewables to improve fuel and fertilizer efficiency and so on. Saudi's also, their backup oil pipeline is now fully functional. So all said, what we see here is that crises can sometimes be a blessing in disguise. They create that rare sense of urgency, which at least right here, right now, speeds up the Herculean task of the energy transition, which, of course, we discussed here many times before. Note in that context that the S&P Clean Energy Transition Index has steadily risen throughout the last few weeks, even during the conflict. It's now up more than 70% for the last 12 months. And I think that well illustrates how crisis can also create opportunities, not just investment opportunities, but really even societal opportunities. And global markets, last but not least, I think they understand very well how this complex situation is evolving. And that's why they're so sanguine. To them, the darkest moment of the crisis, or even the darkest moment for the stock market, if you will, lies behind us. And now it's time to pay tribute to yet another impressive earnings season. And that's why we're still expecting 7,500 for the S&P 500 later this year.
Now, Burkhard, the stock market recovery is one thing, but the impact of still higher oil and gas and fertilizer prices on consumer inflation, that's quite another. How do you expect central banks to deal with this?
Well, you know, Dan, I never really understood why higher interest rates could help here. In my book, there's absolutely nothing the Fed can do to resolve the interruption in Middle Eastern oil supply, nor do I think would high interest rates alleviate the price increases of gasoline or fertilizers. I mean, what's the benefit? Do you really think that oil prices would fall if U.S. interest rates were to rise? I mean, that would only be true if you raised rates so hard that you'd enforce a recession. But of course, that'd be deeply cynical. As a consumer, first you'd get hit at the pump, and the next thing is you turn around and they hit you with higher mortgage rates. No. I really don't think that that's how a central bank should fight a supply shock, and I absolutely don't expect them to do that. Just that it just seems much more sensible to me to, you know, allow consumers and the economy to recover from the oil and gas price shock and trust that they have what it takes to heal from all of this without any extra help or even monetary tightening. So, you know, I think monetary policy can cool inflation when, like, demand is running so hot, like after it did after the lockdown stimulus, that it's driving up prices. That's when higher rates can actually be useful to slow consumers' shopping spree and to cool prices a little, just like they did a couple of years ago. But when oil prices rise because suddenly the Strait of Hormuz is closed, then there's really not a whole lot a central bank can do to help. So our view, our UBS house view on monetary policy is is actually much more sanguine than the initial market reaction seems to have been. We expect that most central banks will hold their horses, take a deep breath, and consumer prices will settle, and stock will grind higher. As I said, we still expect 7,500 for the S&P 500 by the end of this year.
Okay, well, Burkhard, those are all valid arguments, but what about the Strait of Hormuz? Do you really expect the conflict to end soon and free sailing to resume?
Well, look, here's what I think. For one, you know, I can perfectly well imagine that the hostilities between Israel and Iran continue for longer, even for several years. You know, Israel and Iran, historically, they've always had a very good relationship. Things only went sour with the Islamic Revolution in 1979, same for the U.S., of course. And since then, so for a little more than 45 years now, the two countries have just been fierce antagonists. And frankly, I don't see any sign of appeasement just yet. But, you know, markets learn to live with wars, just like the one in Ukraine, or just like the continuous conflict across the Middle East for the last 80 years, if you will. And remember, you know, after the tanker wars during 1984 to 1987, when the Iraqis sent their Exocet rockets to put the Gulf of Persia into fire, the strait was ultimately cleared by an international flotilla of minesweepers, not only from the U.S., but also from Europe and the Soviet Union back in the days. So I think it stands to reason that this time around, again, another international flotilla, including both from China, India, and Europe, will help secure and clear the Strait of Hormuz once the fog of war is lifted. So here's the bottom line, I think. I think markets are right in sniffing that the risk of a physical oil crisis is fading, and that's why they're looking through it, through this fog of war, and paying tribute again to the extraordinary resilience of corporate profits, the U.S. economy, and our roaring 20s scenario.
Well, Burkhard, that's good to hear, and let's indeed hope that the conflict ends and companies can go back to business. As always, Burkhard, it's great to catch up with you. Thank you for dropping by today, wishing you a good rest of the day, and look forward to continuing with our conversation again soon.
Same here. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, Dan. It's always great to come by and speak again soon. Take care for now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Financial Services, Inc. does not provide legal or tax advice, and this does not constitute such advice. UBS strongly recommends that persons obtain appropriate independent legal, tax, and other professional advice.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.